Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday, brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right. Hello, Ty.
All right, what's going on, guys?
Season's greetings.
Yes, it is the season.
It is the season. It seems like the football organization around these parts remains a little bit dysfunctional. We have a lot to talk
about.
A little bit. rather dysfunctional. We can begin with Gerard Mayo, or we can begin with Alex Van Pelt, or we can begin with Drake May, wherever you want to begin. But we spent a lot of time yesterday and throughout the day here at WEEI talking about Gerard Mayo sort of throwing his offensive coordinator under the bus. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, he just piggybacking off what was caught with John up in the suites, right? Was saying that the play calling sucks
terrible.
And all that.
So he's following Jonathan Kraft's lead. He's following the lead.
You know, when you're up there sitting in that spot, you know, all the cameras is on you. So I guess the lip readers, the lip reading gods, and you know what Mayo said, you know what? If he said it, I can say it too. You know, but it's still a reflection of the team because you're a head coach, and you never want to do that. Just like you don't want to throw a teammate under the bus, you don't want to throw that. So I think it was just a bad choice of words, you know, and the delivery, you know. I would have probably just said, you said that, and just let it go.
That's been Mayo's biggest problem is his delivery, his packaging, and how he says things.
Yeah, it's the packaging, man. Yes. You know what I mean? Some certain things you're just supposed to leave the hell alone, you know.
But he doesn't care about the football product. His biggest problem is the way he packages his comments to the media.
I mean, he inherited a crappy team, Greg.
Yes,
you expect
he did.
They'd be like top 10 defense. They struggle. You inherited a crappy team. You are what you are. I think the biggest problem with Mayo is just the way he keeps putting his foot in his mouth.
But is that a fireable offense?
I don't think it is. I want to see you learn from it.
Right. I mean, you got to win games, and you can get away with a lot of things when you win, but everything's going to be magnified when you're not winning. So whatever you say, if somebody do something, if somebody fart in the wrong direction, right? It's going to be mad. People are going to talk about it. But when you win, just like a lot of stuff got covered up that maybe would have got out there, not saying anything in particular, because we were winning. Think about it. Coach Bill Belichick, he can go out there and say anything he wanted at that time. No matter what, if we had a problem with it as players, we didn't like the delivery, we didn't like the message of the coach, but can we say something? Hell no, because we winning. But when you start losing, now everybody looking at Bill sideways. Now everything that he does, it's like, oh, he's losing it. So winning cures all.
I would also say, Ty and everyone, that the packaging is a big reason why Mayo got the job. That we've said it 1,000 times, but the lapel pin is never out of place. He does the post-game debriefs. Remember they had the happy hour with Gerard Mayo in the spring with the local media where there was off the record, you know, beers and fun. The fact that he's failing on that level.
Yeah, I ain't never got a bite of that one, but go ahead.
Yeah, he's failing on that level is concerning. And I specifically for the Crafts, where they thought at least they would have someone they didn't have to worry about that was going to put the organization in the best light, that was going to say the right things and be deferential to them. And what they've gotten is someone who is constantly putting his foot in his mouth.
Well, that's usually you get somebody like Stacey James, you know, come tell the players and say what to say, what not to say. And you got the PR team. Somebody maybe need to go down there and whisper a little something in Gerard's ear or something,
right,
because that's what they used to do to us.
Right.
You know what I mean? We didn't want to give, you know, anything to the media, give them more so they can run with it. So
somebody has to tell him not to throw his offensive coordinator under the bus?
I'm talking about maybe somebody got to whisper in his ear because they used to do that to us all the time.
Okay, well, it's not alarming to anybody that that's his first go-to is to throw others under the bus?
I mean, it is alarming, Ray. Don't get me wrong, because it's not right. You know what I mean? So we got
to – He's supposed to be changing the culture.
Right.
That was a big thing that I was told by Robert Kraft that was going to happen. And – that's not a winning culture, is throwing, when you lose, throwing everybody else under the bus.
Oh, no. I mean, start pointing the blame. Not only do you lose coaches, you can lose your players. You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff is supposed to be left in-house. You know, hopefully he learns from it because it's going to be the talk, you know, pretty much all off-season now. What are they going to do? Because who are they going to pick? They're going to be talking about who's going to want to come, who's going to want to coach for them. So you don't want to put that negative energy out there, because it is free agency, even with coaches. If you, let's just say the offensive coordinator, I don't like what you said, you got to let him go for whatever reason. What other coach is going to want to come in and say
when you and work for a guy who's going to be willing to throw you under the bus?
Exactly. You know what I mean? So that's not a good look, but hopefully he learns from it and, you know, keep it in-house next time.
But if they get rid of Mayo after everything that Robert Kraft has said about picking him, choosing to pick him 5 years ago, what coach wants to come here and be the next head coach of the Patriots, worried that if Robert could do that to Gerard, what's he going to do to me?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to answer this not in words. Boop. 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 You know what that is? That's
backing
the,
up.
That's the back of the brink. Yep. You can get anybody coming there. Everybody for sale.
Well,
there
I
you
mean,
go.
I, yeah,
you'll
I mean,
get somebody
I,
cheaper
I,
there. The issue that I look at is not. I think Ty's right. It is about winning, because you had, you know, Dan Campbell basically onside kicking a game with 9 minutes to go, but you're able to get away with it and be like, yeah, it is what it is. And that's literally what he said afterwards.
Right.
And then then even with Bill, like, you know, being petty and throwing guys like under the bus. I know he didn't really throw him under the bus, but remember when Brady messed his hands up and Bill was like, well, it's not open heart surgery. I just think that the thing that I thought Mayo would be good at and that he's kind of messed up a little bit is saying things and then having to walk it. If he just stood on it and said, you know what? These guys are soft. Or guess what? We can't help them when they go on
the field. Like Mike Tomlin. He can say certain things because he's authentic with his. He stand on it for better or for worse. You know, whatever Mike Tomlin says, he'll walk right out on you and just look at you crazy, whatever the case is. But we expect that out of Mike Tomlin. We don't know quite yet what to expect out of Mayo. We're learning who he is. Now, if he stays consistent with it, the walk back part, I agree with you, Wick. Hey, stand on it.
Right.
You know, if you stand on it, we're like, okay, that's who he is. So whoever comes in afterward, understand this is what it is. We still know who we were as a team in the locker room. If you come in as a free agent, we don't care how big your name was, what other organization you come from, we're standing on what we believe in this locker room, and that's business. So we don't get you. All the other stuff, all the other experience, we don't give a damn. So he's just going to have to stand on what he believes in and not walk it back, because that shows us somewhat a sign of weakness, in my opinion.
Right. Well, and then the other thing that I noticed when, like, and I think players will respect a guy more when they just are standing on business. Like, that's the one thing I think what made Bill, in my opinion, so successful, and even playing for Parcells, is like you knew where they stood. Like, you knew, like, if Bill said to me, Belichick, we don't run behind you because you can't block, like, you knew why he said it. And you were like, all right, I have to bust my ass to prove him I can. And if I don't do it, then he's gonna let me go. Now, Mayo is in a learning process where he don't say that. Like Courtney brought up a great point with their Ramondre Stevenson when he fumbles and then literally two plays later, he's back in the game. What kind of punishment is that? And I think players kind of don't know where Mayo stands, or at least they look at it and go, like, he might say a lot of things, but he ain't really going
to
do nothing.
Well, is there going to be any kind of repercussion when it comes to Booty trying to throw Drake May under the bus for the interception, which was clearly not Drake May's fault at all, but Booty's trying to put it on him?
Yeah. And Mayo set that precedence, though. Remember, he's like, hey, listen, I give my guys a voice.
Yeah, but he also said, we've talked with Booty before about how he handles the media and how he packages what he says. He said that yesterday to us. So
it's just been an organizational failure at every level. And the things that Jerod Mayo has been tasked to do that he had the most control with have gotten worse. The defense and his interactions with the media. The thing he has the least to do with is the most successful, optimistic part of this team is the quarterback.
Interesting. That's an interesting take right there. I like what he's saying right there, Curtis, because I'm looking at the defense. I'm sitting there like, this is defense.
Right.
This is what you do. Now,
Wiggy discounts this. Huh? It's gotten
it's bad.
In
the most fundamental part of defense is tackling. They still can't get it right.
It's bad. And you got the best, arguably one of the two best players on your team back this year on that defense who didn't play last year. So and you're going in the wrong direction? Like that's on Jerod Mayo.
Yeah, but we know that's on him.
Okay.
But he compares Mayo's defense to Bill Belichick's defense.
Can't do it.
That's what I try to tell him. You're talking about the greatest defensive mind ever, and you try to compare Mayo. No, Mayo has messed up, and you could tell that he needs to really figure out who his defensive coordinator is and how much input he wants to have in the defense. Does he want to be like DeMeco Ryans or saying, you know what, I'm taking control of this defense? But that's the problem. Greg tries to compare Mayo to Bill.
That's not the case. He ain't calling the defense. I don't know. Is he not calling the plays?
No, he's not.
DeMarcus Cousins, Covington calls him.
You have guys calling plays on both sides, coordinator-wise, who've never called them before
in their career. That's the learning process, but I still think that we can't say and just dismiss him and say get somebody else. Give him at least another year. I really judge a rookie quarterback, a rookie head coach. You got to give him a little bit of time. Let's see how he progresses next year. Let's see what's by year three. By year three, if you don't get it together, you got your own people in, build the culture, whatever it is, that's a whole different story because this is the NFL. Mm-hmm. What have
by
you done for me lately?
Three?
I'm just saying.
That's 3 years of Drake May wasted.
Okay, what was the first year with Belichick? What was the
2000?
Everybody goes back to that.
Exactly, but I'm talking about look at most head coaches.
Okay, do you think
Jerod
Mayo's going to be Bill Belichick? If so, I'll wait for him.
No, I'm just saying, ain't nobody trying to say he's going to be Bill Belichick, but you could never know right now because if you looked at Bill Belichick's first year, you looked at a lot of coaches' first year in.
Right.
Sean Payton, wherever you look at it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
especially when they're inheriting a crappy team.
Right.
A team that had four wins the year before, like, you don't expect them to turn it around. That's why I said next year is the year for me. Like, if he hasn't figured out how to handle the media, it's going to be interesting to see if he has two new coordinators and what they do in the offseason. As far as the free agency, I think that's more in Elliott Wolf, but it's more about handling the media and the defense and how he wants to run it.
Every time you say inherited a crappy team, I just feel the need to say a crappy team that got infinitely better at the most important position on the football field. So,
what do you mean by that?
With Drake May.
Yeah, they drafted the right guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you go back to he inherited a crappy team.
He did.
It got much better with the draft and much better with the play of the quarterback.
It got better, but Greg, the offense sucks around him. The line is awful. The receivers are the worst in the NFL.
You can't take one head coach in the NFL right now. You can take who the best right now? Who stands with Andy Reid?
I would put him on this team and think.
I bet you he ain't going to playoffs.
No, hell no.
Andy Reid is not coaching this team to the playoffs. Period.
And that's the biggest thing, Greg. Yes, you hit on the quarterback, but the rest of your team, especially on the offensive side of the football, you. you don't have any players.
Damn lie.
Hold
on, man. Gonzo the real deal now.
I'm talking about the offensive side of the football.
Okay, okay.
You have Gonzo and Barmore. Those are the only two guys that I would say are guys that I wouldn't give up on.
On defense.
On the whole team. Drake May.
Hunter Henry?
See you later.
Hunter Henry.
No, no, no. But I could find somebody.
You can find somebody.
A bunch of them. I could find a bunch of Hunter Henrys.
Yeah.
I mean, I could look what Jonnu Smith's doing down in Miami.
Exactly.
Like, I could find a bunch of Hunter Henrys.
Yeah.
I'm saying, if you put a gun to my head and you said, who are the three guys or who are the guys you want to touch on this team? Drake May, Christian Gonzalez,
and Bob Soucy.
And Soucy and Barmore. But other than that, you can have everybody else.
I agree with Wiggy on that one.
All right. Ty Law's here. Can you hang for a little
bit? Oh, yeah. I'm here. Okay. I drove up in this traffic. I'm leaving when y'all leave.
All right. Are you around all day today? Hanging around the city? Or what do you got?
Around the city. I got some meetings. I got to go meet my man, Chef Nick, at Colonnade Hotel. Then we got to go get some accounts out there. I got some meetings, man, trying to sell some of this Corvus vodka. So call on in. I stop by. Doing tasters. whoever want to taste some of this good stuff, call in.
You'll go
I'll
anywhere.
Be there.
You'll go anywhere.
Yeah, man, that's what I do.
Have vodka, we'll travel.
Yes.
All right. Ty Law is here on a Ty Tuesday, and here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Vikings beat the Bears 30-12, and the Falcons beat the Raiders 15-9 in Monday Night Football. There is an update on Patrick Mahomes after his ankle injury on Sunday. He has a high ankle sprain. His status for Saturday against Houston is questionable.
Wow. Peyton Manning has some pregnancy meds for him to take, so he's ready for the playoffs.
They're actually saying, should they sit him for the next 3 weeks? If you want to lose home field advantage, I wouldn't
do that.
Do
you want to risk it? Hurting him for the postseason.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Curtis is right. At some point, they'll just decide to shoot the thing up, and he can deal with it after the season, right?
Oh, he's going to play on Christmas. There's no way the NFL lets him sit when they gave that game to Netflix, and Netflix paid out the wazoo on Christmas Day. He'll play.
And do you really think Mahomes wants to be with his family on Christmas? I'd rather be playing on a bad leg.
Yeah, who wants to hang out with that brother?
The Pats-Bills game has been flexed to 4:25 start on Sunday. The Bruins are back in action tonight, continuing their road trip out west, taking on the Flames in Calgary. Puck drop is at 9. And congrats to University of Vermont. Their men's soccer team won the first national championship in program history. They beat Marshall 2-1. And you've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. Four hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. By the way, Greg, I wanted to mention this earlier. Big Cat at Barstool had the best observation. We did the Mac Jones talk yesterday with Boomer.
Yes.
The cockiest worst player in the history of sports.
I asked that to Boomer.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We did it yesterday. Big Cat had that. Cockiest worst player.
Yeah.
Stole it from you, Courtney. Yeah.
Courtney Cox and Big Cat. Same break. 52 degrees, big afternoon break. High of 56.
Ty Law is here on Ty Tuesday. And so were you shocked that Bill Belichick was not going to be coaching in the NFL maybe ever again?
Man, I swear, Greg, I did not see this one coming. Now, like I was telling you, I knew that he was going to coach, but I really thought NFL. I got to call Bill on that one, man, because I'm like, damn, he could have said, gave me a little something. I wasn't going to go blow it up, but I knew that he was going to coach, and he wanted to coach from spending time with him in New Orleans. But North Carolina, out of all places.
Wow.
But that's one thing about Bill Belichick. He's not going to give you everything, and that goes to show you, he's his own man. He don't care what nobody say, what we say, what anybody's thinking, because he went somewhere. I don't think anybody could have guessed that.
No.
Because it couldn't have been about the money, because he could have made the same amount or more anywhere else. It was just something that he wanted to do. I guess the record doesn't matter to him. So hats off to Coach Belichick for making the decision.
So you believe all that? When he said yesterday with Pat McAfee that the Shula record didn't matter to him, when he said at his press conference in Chapel Hill that he had always wanted to coach in college, you take him at his word on all of those things.
I mean, yes.
You don't think it was more that there wasn't a job available? Curtis is rolling over in his chair over there.
I mean, he called the Jets tied.
Hey, hey, Curtis, I'm just saying, if anybody is smart and looks at it for Bill Belichick, knowing that he is going to be a culture changer at the least, and it's a lot of organizations out there would love to bring some of that knowledge or mimic the success that he had in the NFL. How's that going to transition to college? I don't know. But if he would have let the season go on, it's going to be some coaches. They're going to be like, you know what? We can use Bill Belichick. We can do a lot worse than Bill Belichick.
Listen, it pains me as much as you to say it, but there weren't teams that were interested. There just weren't.
See, that's more shocking to me. Now, it's shocking to me that he went to UNC, but what's more shocking to me is that an owner – and you watch these NFL coaches do the dumbest things week in and week out.
Facts.
And an owner wasn't like, we need to bring Bill in because Bill can turn around our program. And it's proven you can turn around a program quick in the NFL and get them to be a contender. That's more shocking to me that owners would put their ego in front of them.
That's shocking.
Having
to you?
A chance.
It's shocking.
It ain't nothing shocking to a billionaire owner's ego, bro. Right. I mean,
but it is kind of like if they really wanted to win, like it is shocking to me.
Right, but they don't. That's the issue. Is if this Bill Belichick in 2016 and everything's the same, he gets the first job in total control. It's not just about winning. Bill was here for 4 years. They didn't win.
So the shocking part is that they can't set their ego aside for 4 years.
Well, and I think they also heard things probably behind the scenes from people in charge in New England. Yeah. I think that there was a lot of talk going on about Bill and the ending here, and I think that put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
And it's also a lot of owners with egos that was like, I'll take him. You know, I'll take him just to mess with the other owner. That's what they all do. They go, who got the biggest yacht? Who got the biggest this? Who got the biggest plane? Man, come on, man. I don't believe that. And then from what Bill told me in New Orleans, you got to wait a certain time for you able to talk to anybody. So it's a certain time period that he can't even entertain or talk to anybody in the NFL because the season's going on. He guess he got an offer before that happened. Do we know it? That it was going to be rolled out the red carpet. He's going to have all these opportunities. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he told me specifically that he can't talk to nobody until I forgot what the date was. He couldn't even entertain a conversation.
Mm. Can he be successful in college?
I think he will because
can
I think
he win a national championship?
I don't know about a national championship because guys are wanting to get paid. But I do think that now, because of Bill Belichick, UNC is going to be looked at as that vehicle to the NFL. He put it out there, so a lot of kids that's dreaming and say, I can make a couple of dollars, and I'm going to play under Bill Belichick. I get to pick his brain and play up under him. That's my access to the NFL, just like Colorado did with Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders did for Colorado. He brought something to it.
So it doesn't matter necessarily if they only have $20 million NIL-wise.
It's going to be a Bill Belichick effect.
There are going to be transfers or recruits that will value the opportunity to be coached by Bill Belichick more than the money.
I've had over 4 calls from friends talking about their kids.
Hmm.
Hook him up with Bill. Everybody just want to leave in the transfer porthole. You know what I mean? So, Bill, it's going to be a hot ticket
right
in North Carolina. I promise you that. Now, would they go in there and see, like, oh, this ain't what I thought it was and get back in the transfer portal again? That's what I don't like about the transfer portal. But people are going to go just to get the experience. And people's parents, you know, maybe the young kids might not even know.
Right.
But their parents do.
Right.
Oh, he coached Tom Brady. He got 6 Super Bowls. And the parents are going to be like, hey, this is where you need to go. Who they might not like Deion's style for whatever reason.
Right.
Guess what? The next best option, hey, let's go over here to North Carolina.
I think Bill is probably, and he even said it, like his number one selling point is you come play for me. If you got talent, I can get you to the NFL. And that's 99% of the kids that step on a college campus. They want to get to the league. The NIL is good. Don't get it twisted. But it's how can you get me to the NFL?
Yep.
So him competing against other coaches on being a pipeline to the NFL, he's winning that. That's going to be the biggest thing.
The Tar Heels have 6 wins right now.
Mm-hmm.
The over-under next year is 7, according to Vegas.
Yeah.
So Vegas doesn't think they're going to be like all of a sudden a national champion.
You know what? 3 wins last year, Indiana. And this year, Indiana is what? They got one loss and they're in the playoffs. So for him to
right, this is a prognostication about what the North Carolina Chargers
will
be.
I'm not saying, but when you ask, can Bill get them there? Because of this new 12-team playoff,
yep.
All you got to do is be one of the top two teams in the ACC.
And you see that schedule?
Yeah.
There's no reason why he couldn't be with that schedule because they ain't playing nobody significant at all.
Clemson's their toughest matchup. You beat Clemson and you're able to be one of those teams playing in the ACC championship, just like this year, also, SMU Clemson, you'll get
beautiful.
In the playoffs.
Also, if you saw the signing video yesterday for that kid from Holy Cross, Mike Lombardi has his office set up very nice with a couple computers there right on the desk. Curtis.
Oh, I love the standing computers. So you get the calisthenics. The other thing is,
Bill is probably a standing desk guy.
Definitely. Oh, totally.
Are those things? They were very popular for a while.
I had one at Nessun.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I liked it.
I also, if there is a God, and we all believe there is, it's his time of year. Happy birthday, Jesus. Then we have Bill O'Brien and the man that wouldn't speak to him, Bill Belichick, in the ACC title game next year. And if that's the case, we are doing a road show. I don't care.
We will.
But I've
Absolutely.
Been to Chapel Hill. That is a beautiful campus.
Stunning.
The school is great. Great education. If I know they're a basketball school,
mm-hmm.
but if they can start winning in football, the atmosphere is going to be electric for those potential recruits or people in the transfer portal. I think he's going to do just fine. Now, he's going to have to win.
Right.
And he's going to have to send some guys. But that's when you call your boy Lawrence Taylor. I need you to come down here and talk to the kids. Like, that's Lawrence damn Taylor.
Julius
Bill Belichick can make that talk. Julius Peppers.
Right.
He can make calls.
Ty Law.
You're damn right. You know what I mean?
Perfect.
I'm going to talk to him.
And don't sleep on Lombardi. Don't sleep on Mike Lombardi because the other thing that he has.
He's currently asleep.
But he also has that pipeline to the
NFL. Why did you starch these pants?
He also has the connection and the pipeline to the NFL. That's the biggest thing, Greg. When you take
to who? Roger Staubach?
No.
Who's Bill Belichick going to bring in? Ernie Adams?
No.
These kids don't know who Lawrence Taylor is.
No. But when players, when you sit in these meetings with trying to be recruited by a coach, the number one thing that these college coaches do nowadays is they talk about their connections and how they can get you to the NFL. Yeah. So you have two guys.
Wait. In one breath, he's been blackballed, and now he's the pipeline. Make it make sense.
But he's been blackballed as a coach. You don't think if somebody said, if Bill picked up the phone and said, hey, I got this kid, he's a clear-cut, top.
They're going to get a look.
Yeah.
Well, the same people that wanted him a mile away from their football ops department are now going to say that we want the guy because you called us?
Well, Kyle Shanahan would absolutely pick up the phone. He even offered Bill a job to just be a defensive assistant when Bill first got fired. Of course he's going to pick up that phone.
Right, because the Patriots are going to pay his salary and he'd be on the staff for free.
Mike McDaniels did the same thing. And he said, so I'm just saying, Curtis, believe me, I tell you because I know from experience.
Right.
When guys sit in there with coaches or kids sit in there with coaches and they're sitting in there, Billy O, the number one thing those recruits are saying and their parents is, hey, how can you help my son get to the NFL?
Ask before Ty goes and before we get to the play of the game, most entertaining play of the game, ask him your schedule question that you're all hot and bothered about this morning.
The Saturday schedule?
Yes.
The NFL being more, I don't know if it's the NFL. I think maybe it's the NFL. Why the hell do they got the college football playoffs? Why is the NFL moving in on the college football playoffs this Saturday? So now I can't even watch two good games in Texas and Houston and Kansas City or Pittsburgh and Baltimore because I want to watch the college football playoffs. What is the NFL doing?
But it's really the other way around. I mean, Curtis mentioned they've been doing this Saturday thing in the NFL for a while.
Have they?
Yeah, forever. Yes.
Yeah, they've been doing it later in the season. And in playoffs, because you got the championships, they want to get the most viewership. But you doing this whole college is Saturday. I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And NFL was Sunday, but they have been doing this for a long time. So
put crappy games on. Schedule a crappy game. I feel like they knew both college football and the NFL knew all right, here's when we're playing our college football playoffs. So Saturday, I wrote it down. These are Saturday's games, right?
And just so we're aware, NFL games on Saturday have been part of the league schedule since 1952.
Damn, did not know it went that far back.
Okay.
But you should have scheduled your crappy games. You got the Texans.
Right again.
You got the Texans taking on the Kansas City Chiefs, 1 p.m. on Saturday. And then 4 p.m., you got the Steelers taking on the Ravens. 12 o'clock, you got SMU playing Penn State, and 4 p.m. on Saturday, you got Clemson versus Texas.
Wait, you're the 2-1 guy.
I know.
You can watch literally both games.
I don't see the issue.
He calls it a DP.
It's a DP. I don't want that because I'm losing out. Listen.
There's some weird reason why. He has a weird reason why he calls
it. It's double pitcher. Pause. I'm losing.
Double picture. Pause. Yeah.
Right. I'm losing out. Pause on just having one big one on my screen.
Hello.
I want to be able to just focus in on the college football game and not have to DP the two games.
Well, pause. I mean, really, there's a time and a place for it.
Yep.
All right. So, most entertaining play of the game brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Yeah. Any suggestions from the gallery?
The Drake May shovel pass for the touchdown.
That was Mahomes-esque.
Yeah.
You know, I like that one. That was a good play.
Man, that boy talented. Because when that play happened, I was thinking Mahomes and Josh Allen. I'm like, and maybe Lamar. Those are the only three quarterbacks that I feel like make that type of play. And to see kind of Drake May play like that, he reminds me a lot of Josh Allen, because I had the chance to watch Josh Allen play in that game against Detroit. It's like, man, they look, you know, the way they run, their style. Like, Drake May is a really – I knew he was a good runner, but I didn't realize he was this good of a runner.
Yeah.
Yeah,
design a play or two for him, maybe.
Just an idea. What's the thing, too? They can design a read option, and he doesn't have to keep the ball.
Maybe at some point.
We should ask Mayo about that. He'll be like,
you said it. You said it. I didn't. All right, Ty Law, great to see you, pal.
Man, I appreciate it, man. You know what I'm about to do, though? I got to say this. I went to 110 Grill, right? You know, they got, you know, the Corvus cocktails. Really appreciate it. But we done went to friends. It's Corvus and the French Martini. Good looking out, y'all. French Martini got Corvus Vodka, man. So go to 110 Grill. Mm-hmm. Oh, they also got the pick six. They ain't got many pick sixes going on right now with this defense. So if you want to reminisce on some pick sixes like your boy used to do, go to 110 Grill and get you a couple of them good cocktails. Yeah.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Hey, man. I appreciate y'all,
Merry
man.
Christmas. Merry Christmas, man. That's Ty Law. We'll be right back. In the running for text of the day on the Subaru of New England text line, the new text number, this one, 978 text, which says, maybe Drake May ought to shoot AVP a quick text and tell him that he's capable of running the football. Great thought. Yeah. Maybe that's the way
But if we ask Mayo about that, he's then going to spin it to Van Pelt, then Van Pelt's going to spin it back to him, and then somehow concussions are going to get brought up. We don't want to run this guy.
You said it, I didn't.
I mean, I don't know why you don't do it. Look at the Buffalo Bills. They utilize Josh Allen's ability to run. You just played a team in the Arizona Cardinals. They use Kyler Murray's ability
to run. Here's why. Elliot Wolf has way too much power in this organization. Alex Van Pelt is his hand-picked guy. Mayo didn't get to pick his staff. And the organization knows their golden goose is Drake May. And if they do a design run, he gets another concussion, and he has any issues, they're out of a job.
But that's why you dress it up as not a design run. Like that last touchdown he scored, the rushing touchdown. It's technically a pass play. So just slide him out of the pocket. It's just a boot right, and he has the option to throw a run, and then it looks like a pass play when in reality it's more like a design run.
But this whole year has been a bridge year. And they feel like once they get Drake May, that's their job security. And then if anything happens, and that's why he didn't start the season. No. Mayo wanted Drake May week one. We all agree.
Yeah.
He said it. And or he said that.
He won the competition.
He said he won it. Said it on this show. And he walked it back.
Yeah, he's been moonwalking all season long.
You have to empathize with Jerod Mayo on that side. Like
I do.
He wanted to have this guy be his starter. The season would maybe they have two more wins right now. Who knows? And he was totally cut out. His legs were cut out from under him. And how does his voice resonate in the locker room when this brand new rookie head coach has a competition? The guy that won can't play because the little brat Elliot Wolf tells him he can't.
And you know the other thing that I just thought about, Curtis brought that up about in the locker room, as a player who played on offense and knowing that, like, oh, I'd like the offensive coordinator to be more aggressive and throw the football. But then the offensive coordinator could be saying in the offensive meetings, like, guys, I'd love for us to be more, taking more shots downfield. But, you know, unfortunately, the head coach doesn't want us to do that. Yeah. So there's like there has to be this, like, in the locker room of guys having some frustration, whether it's toward Mayo, whether it's toward Van Pelt, because they're not on the same page.
Yeah. Well, they have to be. It's collaborative. That was the whole message going into the season.
They're
going
to need to fix it sooner than later. Maybe Mayo could wear a different pair of those Jordans he was telling us about every time he walks something back. Like,
or maybe he gives them away, like my walk it back giveaway Jordans.
Yo, if he wants to give a pair to me, I'll take them.
Don't NFL teams have a get back guy? Maybe
they
he needs a walk back.
Yeah, usually that's the strength coach. Get back.
Yeah. All right. Before we go, it's a timeout Tuesday. And so if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, which is 617-931-0937, you will win a Time Out Market gift card, and you get to have a meal on us. And by the way, dare I mention this, Sunday at Time Out Market, Courtney, from 5 to 8.
Yeah.
An unforgettable evening dedicated to all things Taylor Swift.
Oh, damn.
What's going on with those two? I've heard no news about an engagement or anything.
Wow. Never at Christmas, because legally you can't. Yeah, it doesn't go well. It's a gift. But you got Taylor-themed cocktails that you can sip and savor. Live DJ spinning her biggest hits.
Yes.
And a prize for the best era outfit. So dress to impress.
That's pretty good.
Swifties, make it a night to remember at Time Out Market Boston on Sunday at 5.
They'll be out and about.
Will.
All right. We're back tomorrow morning at 6, a Celtics Wednesday. Mego.
Your last day.
My last day before the holidays.
Damn.
So
enjoy.
We will be here for that tomorrow morning, and Jones and Keefe are next.